So we're going to move into our fifth commandment as we go through our study of the commandments together. As we've talked about already, the first four really deal with our relationship with God. And then the other six are more of that horizontal relationship. They're about how we relate to each other, how we treat each other. And you know, it's interesting, that passage that Karen just read, that when the Pharisees challenged Jesus, this is the commandment that he went back with. This is the one that he used to show them the error of their ways. And as you heard, they were offended by that. But this is the one that Jesus used. And so just go back through some of the foundational items that we had, that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. If you want to hear more of these in detail, then go back and listen to the first of the series as Sim went through these. But really, you know, the commandments, it's about what's in the heart. It's about the heart matter. We hear Jesus talking about you know, being angry with somebody is as bad as murder in your heart and things like that. And so it's very much of dealing with how your heart is. And then the law exposes sin. We, by seeing the law, by understanding the law, we know our sin. The law in all aspects leads us to Jesus. You know, we're told that Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to replace it. But that we are saved by grace, not by works. We are now under grace. It's not what we do. But having been saved by grace, our faith should show our works. We should show our faith by our works. And Jesus himself tells us if we love Jesus, we should keep his commandments. And these commandments are given for our benefit. And we're told that all scripture is inspired by God and for our benefit. And so as we move into our commandments, they're things that you should bear in mind as we continue through our study here. So before we go in, let's just bow our hearts to the Lord quickly before we spend a bit more time together going through this. And so, Heavenly Father, we just pray now that you would bless this time that we spend together, Lord, as we look at this fifth commandment. Lord, we thank you that we have your word. We thank you that it's inspired by you and that it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correction. And Lord, we pray now as we go through this that you would give us all ears to hear what you have to say to us tonight, Lord. I pray that you would be with me, that what I say is from you and not from me. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to look at the fifth commandment. I guess the first thing I should say is that this is the desk that I sit at Monday to Friday all day, and I'm very good at multitasking. I will try very hard not to drift off and stare at something out the window, but I've become very good during work meetings at doing that. So try very hard to stay on track. But we're going to look at the fifth commandment. So the fifth commandment we see in Exodus, and it's again repeated in Deuteronomy. But in Exodus 20:12, we're told, honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Yeah, it's the fifth commandment. It's fairly clear cut, I think, and it's as we'll go through. But one of the things I thought I would do before kind of move into that is share with you a little bit on the occasions I preach or I teach, the kind of process I go through. And then actually I'm going to kind of go through that as take you through my thinking as we go through the rest of the evening together. And so the first thing I do is I read the passage and then I pray about it and then I read it again and I pray about it again. And sometimes that can go on for a couple of days, even longer. And then start to think about, well, what's God saying? What's he trying to say? What's behind it? What would it have felt like to be there? And again, in a minute, we'll look at that a little bit. But you know, put yourself in that situation to be there in that time, in that place in history when these commandments were given. Then I start to think about what do I think I know based on, or what do I think of the passage based on what I know, based on the reading I've done of my Christian walk of experiences and sermons I've heard in the past and things. What do I think? Then I start to listen to maybe some other teachers, and I've been through some of the other people preaching on this passage. And then I like to challenge myself. Do I think that and challenge them? And to be honest, yeah, there's a couple of bits around this one where I've heard other preachers that I like and trust maybe say things that I haven't quite felt right, and so I'll talk about those a bit as well. And then also, what does the verse not say? So what, you know, we know that all scripture is given and inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It tells us that in 2 Timothy. And so nothing is in there by mistake and nothing is left out by mistake. So what does the verse not say? And what does it say elsewhere in the Bible? You know, it's important that that we use other scripture to back up scripture. And then this is the point where Joe usually gets more stressed than I am, because she starts to say, have you written it down yet? Have you started to create your slides? And most of this is in my head for quite some time. And this one particularly, Sim asked me to do this what, 4 or 5 weeks ago now. And it's played on my mind a lot over the last couple of weeks. And then it was only really this week that I came to actually write it down and to teach it. And so we'll kind of go through that as I go through. So as I was thinking over this passage, my initial thoughts were, okay, this is the first commandment about our relationship with God. About our relationship with each other. Why? Wonder why God put this as the first one. Maybe in my manly frame of mind, I would have thought maybe do not murder might be slightly more important than this one. That kind of played on my mind. There are consequences for not keeping this commandment, and we'll talk about some of those in a bit. It's a commandment with a promise, which we haven't seen yet as we go through the commandments, that there's actually a promise attached to this one, that if you do it, your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Then I thought, well, okay, this is one for the children, really, on your parents. And so after this was the one that Sim asked me to teach on, to kind of joke with the kids, hey, you should make sure you're in this one. You need to listen. You're going to learn something about honouring your parents. And then it kind of hit me, well, actually, but I'm a father. Am I worthy of honour? Am I worthy of the honour that my children are told to give me? What about people who've got no parents or bad parents? What about them? How does this verse affect them? But then also knowing that this is still relevant. Jesus quotes it. We've just seen now Jesus used this commandment to challenge the Pharisees, and it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible as well. So as we should always do, dive into some of the meaning of the words, and honour in this case means to give high respect, to give esteem. It's interesting to know that it doesn't talk about love. It doesn't talk about condoning someone's actions. And as I get to the verses about, or the discussion about, what about bad parents? What about those that we're commanded to honour our parents? And that is to respect, to give esteem, to treat them with respect, and to do what's morally right, to do the right thing. And respect is, is treating someone in a positive way because of who they are. It's giving regard to their feelings. It's doing the right thing and having the regard for someone. And so when we talk about honouring our father and our mother, it's about the context of the original word is about giving respect, it's high esteem. What does the Bible say? Where else do we see this? So we're told in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is not a one-way thing. There are many other places we're told as parents how we should bring our children up, how we should care for our families and things like that. But this is about children, or this one. This is about us as children honouring our parents. And then in 2 Timothy we see, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. As I read through this list, I don't know about you, but it's interesting to see that how we treat our parents is in there along with unforgiving, slanderers, violent people, despisers of good, traitors, and our relationship with our parents is listed in that verse from Timothy. And then we have the one from Matthew that we've just read. Matthew, Jesus is challenged by the Pharisees. When the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, they said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus' answer is, well, why do you transgress the commandment of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honour your father and mother. And he who curses his father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift from God, then he need not honor his mother and father. So they'd got to this point where they, using their clever words, felt they didn't need to keep this commandment anymore, that they'd kind of done away with it. Jesus challenges them and says, thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Now, what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, what goes into the mouth defiles man, what comes out of the mouth defiles a man. Then his disciples came to him and said, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? They were upset. They didn't like the fact that Jesus had called out that they tried to use their clever words and thinking to get away with this commandment. But he answered and he said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. So this, yeah, we see again Jesus using this commandment to point out how far it's taken the word of God and use their own traditions, their own clever thinking to get away, to try and, or to think that they had got away with it. So this is the first commandment towards each other. So it comes out of the list of commandments. It comes before do not murder, do not steal, and all of the others that come after it. But, you know, these things aren't in this order by mistake. God didn't sit there as he was giving them to Moses and say, oh, and another thing, actually, you want to include this one and add this one. Let's say 10's a nice round number. Churches like 10s. Let's stop there. That's a good list of commandments. That'll do for now. And nothing is in here by mistake. And there's a reason why this one is the fifth commandment. It's the first one that we take into account when we think about each other. And I think it's because it's about family. It's about order within the family. And as you look across civilization, across society, family is the building block of society. It's the building block of every civilization. You don't become a mother or a father until you have a family. It's where much of who we are, what defines us as people, comes from. It comes from your family. And that can be good, that can be bad, but it comes from that close knit. That's the smallest kind of group. Outside of a family, you're on your own. And then you become, you know, that family together. Some of us are blessed with very close, loving families, and some have some very different experiences. But the family, whichever way you look at it, is still the building block of society. It's the building block of a civilization. And you only have to look at society around us to see the impact of failure in the family, and failure in the way that children respond to their parents and parents respond to their children as well. You know, that we, it's interesting, I was reading that we can get into space. We've seen that yesterday. We've made massive leaps in technology. We can do things like this. We can hold church across the world together. But we can't define what we mean by family in today's society. We're doing exactly what the Pharisees did. We are trying to redefine as a society family, and we're seeing the outcome of that. You know, reminded as I was reading this that in Romans it tells us that professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And the Bible is very clear on the family. It's very clear on the hierarchy, the structure within a family. And this commandment, I think, encompasses all of that, that we should honour our parents, that the family is the key. And yeah, as we look across lockdown, as we look now, it's become more apparent than anything how impactful family is. And again, that can be really good. Those people who've got happy, loving families have found lockdown not so bad. Those who've got difficult, troubled families or missing families have felt that more, maybe. And also, you know, as we look, we've not been able to see our families. We've been separated and split up, and we're all feeling something from that. And some people are feeling that's a good thing. Some feel that that's a bad thing. But it comes back to the family, and it applies to us as a church family too. You know, we're told in Ephesians that for this reason I bow the knee to my Father, to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Yeah, we are one we talk about the church family, or why our one family together, and we have our biological families, but we also have our Christian family as well. And maybe there's somebody in the church, maybe there's somebody in the church family that you feel is more of a mother or a father to you, or more your children. But really, I think this commandment is about the importance, and God places the importance of family, the hierarchy in family, right in the center, right at the first point that he has as we go through the commandments. Well, there are consequences. So, you know, we're told, we know, as Christians now, that we are under grace, we're not under the law. But as we also know that all scripture is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting. And we're told in Exodus 21 that he who smites or curses his father or mother should be put to death. In Leviticus 20, he that curses his father or his mother should be put to death. Deuteronomy 20, if you're a stubborn or rebellious son who will not listen, you should take him to the elders and the men of the city, and they're going to stone him. Just thinking, imagine that as a threat, slightly more powerful than I'm going to take your Xbox off you for the day. As we go through the Old Testament, particularly, there were very strong warnings for people that, that didn't follow the order of the family, that children who didn't obey their parents, didn't respect their parents. And we were told last week, Matt talked through last week about the importance of the name. And actually, as a family, the family has a name. We have a name. We identify with our family. We're identified because of our name, because of our family. And some, that can be really good. You know, you're a credit to your family. Your family really proud of you. Then you're on the other side, you get all that family are always trouble. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, and all of those sayings that we hear. But part of the family, we're identified with the name of that family. And, you know, I think you can read maybe into why it's not so easy to find these figures in the UK. But I was looking through figures in from the US that are widely published about the impact of broken families. And you know that for us, so this is on a societal level, that if the family unit breaks down, if it doesn't work, 63% in the US of youth suicides come from broken homes. 90% of homeless children or runaway children in the US are from broken homes. 85% of all children who have behavioral disorders come from broken homes. And 71% of all school dropouts come from broken homes in the US. And I know, you know, there is lots more behind those statistics, but they tell you something. And maybe that's why, as we look through the commandments, that actually some of the others you are less likely to have a problem with if you come from a strong family unit. So is it just for the children? No, it's for all of us. There's a whole other study about how we as parents should treat our children, how we should bring them up. The Bible has a lot to say on the parent-child relationship, but this is where, if you take yourself and you put yourself in this situation, in Exodus 19, we're told just before the chapter before this passage, before the Ten Commandments are given, that Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai to meet with God, and he comes down and he speaks to the people. When the people are listening, they were adults at this time. Most of them were to die in the wilderness, certainly the older ones. And it starts with, we're told, God says these words, and he says these words to the whole gathering of the people. It wasn't just to the children. We are to honour our parents. We are to honour the wisdom that comes with age, maybe. We're told elsewhere in the Bible that grey hair is a crown of glory. And I think back to certainly me, my dad, the number of nights I sat up with him when I was younger with my harebrained schemes of ideas I was going to do. I was going to leave school, I was going to do this, I was going to buy that car. And he would very quietly just talk me through, talk me out of most of those harebrained schemes, make me see. But you know, the wisdom that comes with age of seeing these things. And if we talk about maybe spiritual fathers, not my real father, but I remember often in the early days of trustees meetings when we had Tom. Tom Hoyle was a trustee, and he would sit there fairly quietly, and we would debate gas bills, electricity bills, and something. And so suddenly Tom would just say something, and at first it would feel like it had come from completely away from the conversation, but it was always scriptural, it was always biblical, and it would bring us back to actually, yes, all right, we might be talking about gas, but we're talking about the Church of God. We're talking about spiritual things. And that comes from, it would be so easy, and it was sometimes in impetuous youth, to think, oh, what's he going to say now? Or he would say something and I think, yeah, that's not relevant. But actually, you step back and you listen and you honour your parents. And listen, there's a lot that comes with wisdom of age and the glory of grey hair. So what about bad parents? What about people with no parents? What about me? I'm a father. Am I really worthy of honour from my children? Might surprise you, I know, but I'm not a perfect father. I don't respond in the way a perfect father does. I often fail. I don't model or behave in the way that the Bible tells me I should as a father. I don't feel often worthy of the honour of my children. And, you know, as I'm going through this, sometimes I was thinking it's difficult maybe to say some of these things because I have loving mother and father. I have a family around me. I don't know what it's like to live with an abusive parent or in a toxic family or an absent parent. I don't know. And I thank the Lord for that. But I'm trying to teach what the Bible says here and teach the word. And, you know, as we were talking earlier, things the Bible doesn't say. It doesn't say honor your mother and father or your father and mother unless they're not very good. It doesn't. There is no exception. There is no if they're not worthy of it. And this is where some of the other teachers I listened to over the last couple of weeks have talked about why I'm sure God doesn't want you to respect a bad parent. But actually, God says what he means and means what he says. And just as we went back to the meaning of the word, honor, respect does not mean love. It doesn't mean blind obedience. It doesn't mean staying in an unsafe situation. And I know that's difficult. And I know it's difficult to think about how you honour or respect somebody that doesn't behave. But, you know, this commandment actually is not focused on the parent. It's focused on you giving. It's about you honouring your parents, giving the honour. It's not about how, as a parent, we get the honour from our children. It's about you. I'm told, actually, to honour my parents. My children are told to honour their parents. And I think you can do that even if your parents are no longer alive. You can honour the family name. You can honour the memory. We've talked earlier about the fact that you can be a credit to your family name, to your parents, in the way you behave, in the way you act. And I think we can still honour our parents in that sense. And so the promise: honour your mother and father. Sorry, your father and mother. And there's a whole other study, but if you see every time it goes through, it's father and mother, and it talks about the family, but also the hierarchy in the family. And we're told elsewhere in the Bible about the order in family. And then we see that throughout these verses across Scripture. But the promise is that your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And again, notice the promise is to you, it's to the people, it's not to the parents. And as we look at the children of Israel, as they were given this message as Moses came down from Mount Sinai, again, most of them didn't live long in the land. It was to do with the people that needed to honour their parents. And if you look across society now, we see some cultures that have become selfish. It's about me. And then we see other cultures where they still value family, where they still look after their elders and things like that. And I was doing some reading, not enough to be able to quote it here, but about some of the nations across Europe that are the happiest are often the ones that have a good work-life balance. They're the ones that prioritise family. They're not the ones that work 80-hour weeks, don't see their family at all. The cultures that value family have certainly have good rankings in happiness and things like that. I didn't see enough of a connection to be able to claim they could have long in the land. But, you know, if you go back to those statistics I shared earlier, you know, the beauty of statistics is you can always turn them the other way. And that promise about your days will be long in the land. And if we look at Deuteronomy, it says that it will be well with you. That young people from a stable family are 5 times less likely to commit suicide. They're 32 times more likely to stay at home and not be homeless and not run away. They're 20 times more likely to not have behavioural disorders, and they're nine times more likely to stay in school than to drop out. You know, family is such a key, important part, and honouring your father and your mother is part of keeping that family unit stable, that family unit in the order that it should be. And again, I know this isn't easy coming from me. If you've got a difficult family, if you've got a broken family, if you have an unloving father, a violent father, absent parents. But this is the point: we know we have a loving Heavenly Father. He loves us and he's worthy of all our honour. He knows our circumstances. He knows each of us. He knows the most secret places of our hearts. And who knows, maybe the way you honour your unworthy parents, and we're all unworthy parents, but maybe that's the best witness that you can give them. Maybe respect. And again, I'm not suggesting that people should stay in bad, in toxic, in dangerous situations. But the Bible tells us that we should honour our parents. And the promise is, if we do, that our days will be long upon the land which the Lord our God has given us. And I don't know about you, but we talk a lot about the promises of God, and this is a promise of God. And I don't think we all necessarily, or we don't all understand everything, and it's very easy to look at your own situation and say, that can't apply to me, but this is not a condition, or the condition is that you honour your parents, and therefore your days will be long. There are no exceptions, there are no exclusions from that, but that is the promise. And, you know, as we look at coming out of lockdown, as we look at restrictions starting to be lifted, maybe now's a good time to think about what the new normal would be, about how we will honour our father and our mother. Will we go back to full-time work? Will we go back to being out all the time, to being so busy that we don't have time to check in on our parents, that we don't have time to spend with them? As parents, we don't spend time with our children. We look after them. What we know is that the promises of God never fail. We know this is a promise. And so I don't know about you, but as we come out of lockdown, this is a good reminder for me, at least, that honouring our parents. That it's so easy to miss this one, so easy to get drawn into the busyness, the stress of the world, of life. But as we look at the commandments, as we look first four, about looking towards our Heavenly Father and our relationship with him, and then the next six about our relationship with each other, I think we should take something from the fact that the first one of those is about the order and structure of family and honouring our mother and our father. So I'll leave that with you. Let's just bow our hearts. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of studying this commandment, Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, that you would plant the thoughts in our minds, Lord, that we would look for ways that we can honour our mother and father, Lord, that we know that we can trust, we can believe your promises. We know that your word is never changing, and that it's inspired and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, for our benefit. And so, Lord, we just pray as we go out of our Sunday into our normal working weeks, many of us going back to work, restrictions being lifted. Lord, we just pray that maybe our new normal would take account of what we learned this evening, Lord, that we would look to honour our parents in all that we do. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.